put the salsa, the English egg, and the National Development Agency, SATLA, the Central Drug Authority, and is there any other agency, Mr. Jalma, that I left out?
No.
No, that's it. Okay, and welcome to the Honourable Deputy Minister. Thank you. We, when the committee section requested that we should please take the Wednesday because of congestion in the committee program, Parliament, we knew that there would be some clashes for people that would be in other committees. So, because this is not our usual day, our usual day is Tuesday. Yeah. Okay. Thank you very much. I don't see the accounting officer of the department. Mr. Madhutala, he's not here. Who's going to lead the presentation? Ms. Neyman, is there an apology for Mr. Madhutala? Can we hear it, please?
The DG is in a cluster meeting and we'd like his apology to be recorded. No, the DG is social cluster.
Thank you very much, Chairperson, Honourable Members. I will take the committee through just briefly the content of the presentation. My apology, I've got a bit of sinus, so the voice is not what it should be, but we will try and take it through. The presentation will focus just on the purpose, the emphasis of matters that were raised in the annual report, the other matters, and the matters of governance, as well as the recurring items and the progress that were made. The purpose is just in, as the Chairperson indicated, to highlight the progress made with regard to the audit findings at the end of the 2008-09 financial year, with a view of preparing now for the new financial year that the end is within the next few weeks. The emphasis of matters that were raised in the annual report were basically only the two. I can just maybe also alert the committee or remind us all that the department did not have any adverse audit findings over the past few years. It's basically 7 years, but it's basically already from 1995-6. So the two emphasis of matters raised in last year's report was basically sort of outside of the control of the department. The first one was the flow of funds. That is where SASA, the money is transferred to SASA, who administers it on behalf of the department, but the Director General of the department stay accountable for it. That situation will is still ongoing, and it will also be there with us in the 2010-11 financial year. Very important here to note that it means we need to work very close, and we are working very close with SASA, because any shortcomings and or failures in the internal control systems of SASA with regard to these money may have an impact on the financial statements of the department and also audit findings. The second matter of emphasis that were raised was basically on the basis of accounting. Now, the department is doing its financial statements in line with the directives of the National Treasury. So it's on an accrual, it's progressively moving from a cash to an accrual. The technical matters around that, so there may be a possibility of that to recur in the new financial year, depending on the standards to be audited. The other matters that that was raised mainly relate to social relief of distress. It's also where SASA administered for us as part of the social assistance grant transfer funding this amount for social relief of distress. not really a grant, but it's basically a relief program to beneficiaries. The key findings there were basically the documentation critical to the application for the grant was not completed. It could not be confirmed in all instances that the correct person received the correct amount. Effective controls in respect of food vouchers and aid purchase to the distributors were not implemented. Beneficiary applications were captured offline that could result in unnoticed errors. There was also the distribution of relief aid that was not performed in a standardized or consistent manner in all provinces. And then there was also the supply chain management requirements that were not adhered to in all cases. Now, again, here, this is based, as we all know, auditing is done on a sample basis, so the conclusion is drawn from the sample basis. The progress that were made is basically, we have grouped it in the following areas, and our colleagues from SASA, a chairperson, will be able to explain more detail if questions are raised. In terms of non-compliance with supply chain processes, SASA is now finalizing the rollout of the voucher system, which is the emphasis moving forward. During the interim, the SASA regions are also utilizing a supplier database in line with the supply chain management prescript within their thresholds. There's also now a register for, which is utilized to issue the assistance to the beneficiaries, so the records have been improved and procurement prescripts in general are complied with. In terms of the inadequate controls that were identified, there is a system in place to ensure that there is now matching of invoices and toll slips with your quotations. Control measures are also in place to ensure that application forms are duly completed, which was a shortcoming in the past. There's also no stock holding. We have noticed that the move is moving towards the vouchers. But procurement for those areas for food parcels is also procurement only takes place as and when beneficiaries are identified. And then there are general control measures in place to ensure the safeguarding of the voucher books because of the face value nature of those documents, and then complying to the procurement prescripts. In terms of a second area of other matters, Chairperson, was social assistance grant debtors that were raised in our annual report. It related to the repayments made by the grant debtors originated from multi-purpose sources, and also there wasn't a single dedicated financial data system to manage these grants, and then there was also circumstances that affect the majority of the debtors, that the debt may not be recoverable and because it's not cost-effective. In terms of the progress made with regard to this, again, SASA is administering the social assistance grant debtors on behalf of the department. The progress made with regard to that, we've also grouped it in key areas in terms of unallocated receipts. There, SASA has issued guidelines to the SASA regions to ensure or promote uniformity and to minimize that unallocated receipts will incur in future. We also need to understand that it may not be totally avoidable, but at least we can minimize that. Then a process is also underway with an integrated team to look at all unallocated receipts. We hope that the bulk of that can be done by the end of April before we really need to report on the financial statements for 2019. A further important thing is that through this process, any uncleared amounts may be written back to income after consultation with Treasury, but that would depend on the process that we have done for the clearing of all these unallocated receipts, because the complexity there is we also need to work with the provincial departments of social development. It's during that period that both the provincial departments of social development, SASSA, did the administration for the grants. Then in terms of a single social assistance grant debtor system, SASSA is administering now the social assistance grant debtors on behalf of the department in line with the directive of the National Treasury. So the uniform, there is a single system, and we progressively improve the whole process around the management and administration of the debtors per se. In terms of the recoverability of the grant debtors, that integrated process will determine whether the amounts that are outstanding are recoverable or whether it needs to be written off. That will unfold as the process are getting closer to an end, and it will be progressively addressed as we move forward. There are also other matters of governance that were raised, not maybe specifically in the annual report, but that we feel that we need to highlight it. That is definitely there. It's basically one, I will get to the details soon, but the main reason at that stage was that there was an insufficiency of human resources within the finance section of the department per se. Now, we have improved on the annual action plan to include all role players to ensure that these submissions of information are done timely. Changes to figures are done timely, because the biggest changes that happened on the last minute was because of changes in figures or corrections that have been made. We've also invested in ensuring that posts that were vacant are now full, and we ongoingly train people or build their capacity in understanding the interpretation and disclosure of financial information and ensure the effective administration thereof. So it's that ongoing training, whether it's on-the-job training or formal training. Some of the recurring items that link to the governance matters, not directly, but are highlighted, was the closing of the fund. We have closed the appeals, Angola Appeals Fund, which the department administers, as well as the DRC Humanitarian Appeal Fund accounts. The account that we could not yet close was the high school Furuntu and the disaster relief accounts. That is mainly dependent on the new disaster relief bill that still needs to be passed and approved. There were also the discrepancies between the appropriation statement and the statement of performance, which mainly relate now to the inappropriateness or lack of staff at that stage. I've mentioned that it's due to the last-minute changes. So the detailed action plan, we trust, will help us now to ensure that inputs are coming more timely and that people will ensure that changes are made upfront, not at the last minute. So that is managed on an ongoing basis. We also, as I've indicated, strengthen the financial management capacity through both employing additional people, but also training. There was also the whole matter around investigation of irregular expenditure. So there was delays with regard to that. We have reviewed the processes and the mechanisms to deal with this, to enhance or speed up the processes that it can be done on a more continuous basis. However, as Chairperson, I need to note that most of the cases that were reported previously are still possible irregular cases, so it's the process that need to unfold to determine whether it's irregular or not, and that is where the investigations and things need to be concluded. So we trust that by now, half of those cases are in an advanced stage before final recommendations will be made, either to be cleared or taken forward. Then in terms of the financial statements not submitted by NGOs, it's also the department administers that act and is directly responsible. So the department has developed an NPO capacity building framework. Then training was also done to community development practitioners employed by the provincial departments of social development to assist really in the local queries with regard to compliance matters as well as information around registration to get a much more streamlined and seamless process moving forward. There's also the electronic online registration and compliance system that is underway that we hope that will ease and improve the system. And we're in the process also to strengthen the capacity of the registration and compliance unit in the national department. Specific money was made available for this in the 2010-11 financial year. So we're busy ensuring that we can expand the establishment with regard to that. There was also the whole issue around occupational health and safety with specific reference to meetings and the appointment of members. It's a compliance matter in terms of the auditing. Members have been appointed now in writing, and meetings are also held much more frequently. And I can indicate that good progress has been made with regard to that. The misallocations of general ledger accounts. Staff has now also been trained on the interpretation and application of the new standard chart of account classifications. That is where the major misallocations are, whether it's capital or whether it's current and so forth. But we try and minimize that as far as possible, but as and when misallocations are noticed, we are correcting that on an ongoing basis. Creditors, we have reviewed the whole matter with regard to trying to see how we can fast-track payments to creditors. With specific reference here, we have looked at a whole integrated process from the day we procure until the day we pay. So there's an invoice register. As invoices come, we know which invoices have been received or outstanding. Also, the age analysis. Progress has been made. However, it is impacted by budget pressures that are experienced, but we believe that will improve in the next couple of months. There are also still some teething problems that we need to look into, but it's progressive progress. We can at least see there are progress. The asset register and fiscal assets don't correspond. Reconciliations of assets are now done on a regular basis. The department is also in the process of strengthening the capacity of the asset management unit. Still a quite new function in general for, I think, government and the way to go about. But we're also busy filling the post and capacitating those people to effectively execute their task in collaboration with the other role players assisting them in the department. There's also the required stock-taking plan, which is a prescribed element, and that has been developed and it is maintained and implemented as required. IT assets took long for repairs. There's also regular follow-ups now on with service providers, as I said, with that integrated system with regard to looking at the whole process from procurement or orders up to invoice, and the management thereof become much more effective. So we trust that part will be dealt with also with that process. Then there was the ministerial handbook matters with regard to fringe benefit and expense claims, specifically by the minister and deputy ministers. Because it's a government-wide matter, we have obtained advice or consulted the Public Service Administration Department and the South African Revenue Service, and we've received feedback with regard to that, and we hope that we can now submit that feedback to the Auditor General for consideration in order to finalize this matter. The last chairperson is on financial reporting systems. Again, here the transversal systems are administered and managed by National Treasury, but it's all about looking in terms of the departmental processes with regard to these systems. So an audit was conducted, meaning an assessment was done to ensure that unclear and unused and inactive accounts are deleted or taken off the system, and National Treasury will then be consulted with the transversal system configurations. Thank you very much, Chairperson.
Thank you very much. I don't know, does the acting CEO would you like to add anything to this patch?
Perhaps, Chair, we can expand. We have, I'm with my CFO here. As the question comes for any further clarity, I think we can come in at that point.
Honourable members, Honourable Member Makuba.
Thank you, Chair. The Auditor General has stated that documentation critical to the application for the grant was not completed. Why was the documentation not complete? What progress has been made with regard to the completion of the document, of the documentation, sorry? And what steps have been put in place to ensure that the concern is addressed in future? Thank you.
Honourable Member Adams. Thank you. Any other questions, Honourable Members? No more now.
Thank you, Chair. On slide 8, on slide 6, other matters, due to the circumstances affecting the majority of the debtors, the poverty-stricken individuals, I would like to know what percentage of the budget was lost due to this issue. And then, On slide, no number now, recurring items. Are there any financial statements at this point in time still outstanding? And on, and minus of numbers, my slide. Active register and physical F don't correspond. And filling vacant posts played a major role. There are all vacant posts now full. What is the intention of the department to get out of that situation? Thank you. Come on.
Honourable Member Dudley.
Thanks. With regard to the relief aid, the distribution was said to have been performed not in a sort of standardised way, and that the supply chain management requirements were not adhered to in the procurement of relief aid. So what mechanisms are being put in place to ensure that the distribution of relief is standardized across provinces? And you spoke about the vouchers system, and there that there was some focus on the security in terms of the vouchers, where they were being kept. but there would also be the aspect of vouchers being able to be printed, you know, so is there a plan for these vouchers to change appearance after a period of time or anything so that they can't be duplicated on mass?
Now, was to say distribution of relief aid was performed is in a standardized or consistent manner in all provinces. Ons gemeenskappe oral word nou verskriklik deur vloede en soet geraak oral. En dit is net onaanvaardbaar dat daar een gestandardiseerde manier is dat alle provinsies gebruik om onmiddellike hulp te verleen waar hulp wel nodig is. En dit is net onaanvaardbaar dat ons lewe in global wêreld nou, dat die ITS het, dat hulle so lang neem om hersteld te word of om terug te kom, is daar dan nie contracte met providers nie. Okay. Noem met Kava.
Ngiyabonga Shepherd Sim. Ake ngikhulume ngesiZulu nami ngoba ngikhuluma isiZulu. Shepherd Sim la flies repayment. Bengithanda ukubuza ku-Auditor General ukuthi i-repayment yabo isebenza kanjani ngoba ngike ngaba seNewcastle KZN ngathola ukuthi lapha eKZN abantu uma kwajampwa inyanga ungaholanga. Kule nyanga elandelayo awuyitholi le mali bathi le ejabile uyithola kuleya. Once ajampa kabili angeke usaphinde uyithole imali yakho at all. Iye ishonephi leyo mali ngoba isuke kade i-allocatelwe ukuthi ingena kulo muntu ozoyihola but isejambiwe nyanga angayitholi, akayitholi double. Uthola eyale nyanga akazofika ngabe sekuthiwa le ebiyisele emuva iyoza ngenye inyanga. Ifuna kuleyo nyanga ejampo usuku angaphinde ayithola at all. Iye ishonephi leyo nyanga leyo mali? Ngiyabonga.
I'll translate the Afrikaans question and then I'll ask Honorable Makuba to translate the question. Honorable, the issue of disaster, response to disasters, that especially in the last few months we've been, South Africa had quite a few floods. But the response to disasters are not the same. So there's no uniform response to disaster relief. So what is the department going to do about that? So that's basically the essence of the question. I don't know whether I'm missing anything. And then IT assets, why is it taking so long for repairs? That it should be actually sped up. Since we are working in a global world, and if you look at the application of grants, the processing of grants, obviously it has an impact in terms of the world. Honourable Member Makuba.
Thank you, Chairperson. Honourable Baba was saying that she was in Newcastle, and she noted that some of the beneficiaries who never came to receive their benefits for a particular month, when they go back to the pay point the following month, they don't get the payment of the month before. She wants to know where does that money go to. They are told that they will get it later. Sometimes they end up not getting it at all. So she wants to know what happens to that those funds, because those funds are actually given out specifically for a specific beneficiary. So what happens when that beneficiary does not receive the funds? Thanks.
Okay.
Honorable Member Makuba for that translation. Honorable Member Lamula.
Chair, as I'm sitting here, I remember something that was a very crucial point, and it was always up for discussion. It was the unused mobiles. It also came up in your report, and it's not even mentioned here, if I'm right. City, is it Sasa? Oh, sorry, thank you. I thought it's social development. Can I proceed? All right. I remember I popped a question to the minister on that one, and it was because of budget constraints. Now, to me, and referring to the previous presentation, I think the department is aware of all the problems that we have, especially in the rural areas. And I still feel that something desperately must be done to get those mobiles up and running. I'd like to know what the impact on the budget is. Because city grounded mobiles are stationed in offices right over the country, across the country. And it is not being used, but money is being spent out of the budget to keep them standing there. I'd like to know the impact on the budget is. Thank you. And going to be in for the next financial year.
We now look at the audit report. The SASA, there was irregular expenditure in terms of allocation of, was it of tenders? I think there was the issue of the something that you've allocated. And there was a whole issue around the fact that these trucks were being serviced in Victoria while they were providing a service to the rest of the country. I think those, I don't know whether those issues are still under investigation. Maybe they, can the acting CEO just respond to that? I think there were certain contracts that were under investigation. I think it's two of them, if my memory serves me right. I don't see them reflected in the project report. Although when the department presented the presentation to the annual report in the committee last year, it was mentioned. So that progress is not stated here. I think the issue around, I just want to get this one commitment from, I think the committee needs to get this commitment from the department on the recurring items. Are they confident that these recurring items will not be reflected in the auditor's general report again, that they've dealt sufficiently with it, with the measures they've put in place, and especially with your issues around your financial reporting system, with leave issues. There will always be an issue around leave audits and so on because of your huge workforce that you have. I think you should, there will always be, if you have sample audit team, those issues will recur. But at least there should be an improvement in terms of that. The issue, I think, if you look at your recurring items of financial annual financial statements, not submitted by NPOs, your investigation of irregular expenditure, your occupational health and safety, your meetings and members, those issues, it's a once-off-thing issue that has been dealt with. But those, some of the ledger accounts issues and so on, those things will not occur again in the financial statement. I think that's very important, that if you want to run an efficient department, that you give serious attention to the matters raised in the audit, the general comments in the audit, and that you give attention to it so that it doesn't reoccur. So I think we need that kind of clarity, and if you are not sure, please say so to the committee.
most of the issues Chairperson, the CFO was ready to cover. Yeah, the SASSA-related matters.
Thank you, Chairperson. Let me respond to the first question with regard to lack of standardized procedures for applications in respect of social relief of distress. We have since developed standardized procedures for SRD applications, and those procedures were approved by the acting CEO, and they have been implemented with effect from 1st April 2009. All staff members have been trained in terms of interpretation and application of those procedures. Therefore, as we sit around this table, we have standardized procedures in place, and all regions are complying with those procedures. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. I think I'll take my question number three. What percentage of the write-offs or the budget that is affected by the AMRI consult? As it has been reported, we are busy now finalizing our unallocated receipt. Immediately after we have done, as it was reported, whatever that we cannot identify against any of the grant recipient will take it as revenue, meaning that we'll take it back. And definitely the issue of write-off will only be then determined how much is still left that needs to be written off. So part of the money will go back as revenue, and the ones that are for hardship for the people whom we cannot trace, then it will be written off. So basically that's where we don't have as yet how much it will be. We are still finalizing the process. With regards to question number five, what mechanisms for SRT have we put in place? As it was reported, we have ensured that the voucher system now is better. We treat them as face value. Now, when you treat vouchers as face value, what it means is that you have to have a proper storage of those vouchers. You have to have a proper register for in and out who gets the vouchers. And then there is a proper control, because in each and every voucher that you have, they are duplicate. There's one copy that remains in the voucher. There's two copies that goes with the beneficiary to the service provider. And that copy will get it back when the actual shop actually dispenses and it claims for its money from us. So there's a proper, clear control with regards to that, not like it was in the past. So they are not lingering around. We're taking them as money. Then on question, the issue of mobile, I think question number six, I can also say the disappearing. Which Mama Berabu's question is the disappearing of the money. The money doesn't disappear. What happens is that when a person doesn't appear at the pay point for this month, that money gets rolled over to the next month. It's only after the third month, if the person doesn't appear, we then freeze that money so that the person can come back and present himself to ensure that it might be a ghost or something must have been passed on. So those are the controls that we put in place. Now on question number seven, it's about the issue about the usage, the non-usage of mobile tax vis-a-vis the budget that we're spending. I don't remember that. There was a decision, we're not having mobiles standing at the moment. All mobiles are now moving to the areas. The only thing that we don't have in the mobiles, which we used to have, which since lapsed in October, was that there was a satellite cost that we had for the mobiles to be able to function at the different sites. But now we have actually allowed that officials must use 3G cards to be able to make the mobile trucks being utilized. So as we see today, we can say yes, they are being utilized. With regard to the irregular expenditure, or what we call the fruitless expenditure in terms of the mobile trucks, as we thought reported last time, in terms of irregular, in terms of mobile, there's nothing. The irregular we had from SASA was the irregular for the other years. in terms of people who have the normal prescript of the law, going for one quotation without taking three quotations or going out on tender. That has been sorted out. It's now in place. That's high, the highest compliance with regard to that. However, the fruitless expenditure, as it was identified by the AG, we did do an investigation, and the investigation, yes, did find out that there was 1.1 million fruitless expenditure. We then triggered the matter. We took it up to the financial misconduct. The financial misconduct has now since made some, needed some other clarity, but it has already made some decisions to say labor relations has to take steps against people who actually transgress in terms of the issue of fruitless expenditure.
From the Department of Social Development.
Chair, I just want clarity on my question. I want to pose the question again. Are all 30 mobiles that was grounded, are all those mobiles now up and running? Thank you.
Chair, I think that clarifies the point that was made by the CFO. Maybe before I answer that question, I must be upfront to say the challenges that FASA indicated to this committee before remain a big issue. That is the funding constraint. In our budget bid for last year, we did put a request to Treasury on a range of issues, including issues of infrastructure, issues of the running of the mobile trucks, issues of, I think there was a range, number of key projects that we wanted to undertake. Surely under the circumstances of economic decline, big financial and budgetary constraints, we have not received an allocation. We could not hold arms. What we then did, we took a conscious decision to say a team must go back and do a cost-benefit analysis to look into whether these mobile trucks, in fact, are costing us more than what we are getting the benefit. The preliminary outcome of that indicated to me that, yes, it is a cost, but if you look at it at a national scale vis-à-vis the benefit of reaching out to beneficiaries that are in the most remote areas, we still have a case to make to say we do need these trucks. However, there are certain key facilities that must be in the truck. There is something called the bandwidth, which is the satellite that connects the system that's in the truck with SOCBEN and at head office so that you can actually connect immediately to the database when you are actually capturing an application of a beneficiary. Now, because that requires that online link, it's really critical that we have that system. Unfortunately, we do not have that. In some instances, we have issues relating to sanitation where it's not functional because of the financial constraints. So in the meantime, we ask all the regions, we send out a guideline. I signed those guidelines immediately after we had been in front of the committee. I think it was sometime last year, that we should, in fact, continue going out, especially when we are engaging on our iCrop programs, so that we can, in fact, take the application, in most instances, as the CFO indicated, even process them by use of 3G cards. Also, we must note that the 3G card is not very effective, especially in areas where the coverage, the network coverage is not good. So we have said that at least to the best of their abilities, the region must ensure that those trucks move. At least we can service them, they can go to communities, they can deal with the immediate issues of the communities, even taking out applications. But where 3G cards are working, they must also process those applications. In the long run, I think for the new year, we have discussed this in the allocation of the new budget. We're looking at prioritizing funding for the mobile trust because we are aware that we're extending the child support grant. We're also capturing, in terms of the age equalization, men at the age of 60 years now. We will need to go out en masse and reach to those communities. There might be certain regions where they have a problem of a different nature, which we will deal with as it comes. It could be the issues of the trust are not in a working condition. They need maybe major repairs, but those are the issues that we will tackle. But as a matter of policy, we have not taken a decision to ground those trusts after we have interacted with the committee. That's just...
In relation to the question of...
Introduce yourself, please.
My name is Peter Nishpari from the Social Department. And I'm responsible for NPOs. There was a question raised in the House with regard to the financial statement by NPOs as one of the recurring AG report. And the second question was... issue was whether we still have this recurring issue. I think we should inform the House that we are in discussion with the AG on the nature of the financial statement submission by NPOs, the manner in which it has been documented. The short answer is that in reality, you will always have NPOs that doesn't submit a statement. So we need to discuss with the AG because that will be, it will be possible. We register up to date over 60,000 NPOs, and of those, only 15% of them are funded. So some of them are not even funded, so there will be a possibility that they won't submit any annual statement. So what we need to do is the reality is that each year you will get NPOs that are very new that won't submit annual report. And what we as a department's role is to ensure that they are capacitated and are able to submit and inform us in time. But I think at the stage where we are, we won't be able to, we will still get a lot of them not submitting. But the nature of the problem is that we need to discuss with AG in terms of how we need to phrase the findings so that it should reflect what the department's role it should be. Each year, there are NPOs that don't submit. One of the issues is one, the time of submission of annual reports is not January to December. Sometimes by the time the AG does an audit, if the other NPOs are not due to submit those reports, and the AG could say they didn't submit a report. In actual fact, it is not within the annual report time for submission. So I think we need to highlight that to the House, that I think this matter, the Department has taken responsibility to go back and discuss with the AG on this matter. And we hope that I think in the next, we will have a clear answer in terms of this one.
The percentage of NGOs that do the funded percentage of funded NGOs that do submit NGOs that do submit statements, and your what do you intend doing with those funded NPOs that do not submit statements or that do not have submitted for the past year? Thank you.
Chairperson,
I have not given you permission. Honourable Member Adams? Die NPO's vandag so kardinale daar in die gebied. Ek wil graag weet watter ondersteuning word daarvan social development aan die NPO's gegee. En aan die handgewing is dat daar voortdurend sê op 'n kwartaallikse basis met die organisaties geskakel word. En dit is ook 'n opvoedingsstap waarmee ons dit. En dit is 'n komponent waarvan die social development nie kan klaarkom. Nie as ons die armste van die arme mense wil bereik. Dank u voor.
What support is given by the Department of Social Development to these NPOs who is engaged in the crucial services for the sector in terms of capacity building with regards to financial management? And how frequently do you interact with them with regards to this? The other question I want to pose to the department is NPOs we are sometimes delivering in cases services on behalf of government, so which means they work with public funds. I have a real problem with NPOs not submitting financial statements on time. We take cognizance of the fact that the reporting times would differ from government. It doesn't occur with you don't have the same kind of data that like the 5th of March. But I think that is something that you can sort out with the Auditor General, and that you can change that. The other issue is if you look at audited statements signed off by a CA, Chartered Accountant, and the statement signed off by a bookkeeper. Now, in Carnarvon, in the Northern Cape, or in a small village in KZN or in the Eastern Cape, you won't find a Chartered Accountant, but you'll find a bookkeeper. Sometimes a school teacher teaches economics or bookkeeping or do the bookkeeping of everyone, all the churches and all the associations and so on. Now, those are the dynamics that you have. So, and I don't want to apologize on behalf of NPO, but this is one of the realities that you need to look into. How has the department looked at these scenarios? So that the funding, the public funding that goes to NPOs, they have a responsibility to account for it. But have you also looked at mechanisms to make this, to accomplish it? Because if we could have, you will have bookkeepers at F&B in town. If you can negotiate with F&B in terms of the social responsibility that they program that they have, that could be part of their social responsibility is maybe to look into that, partner with you on that level. You understand? Can you respond to that? And I think that's also a question that the minister maybe would like to touch on.
Thank you, Chairperson. I think firstly we should thank the committee, more particularly the chairperson, for the suggestions that I think are progressive that you are making, and they show also that we have a lot of work to do as the department, so as to ensure that the resources of all public funds go to the needy. And I think it's, for instance, with churches, they also do they do their own financial statements, or shops in rural areas, they do their own financial statements. They account to SARS, and banks and post offices. I think it's the area I think we have to venture into, because we also would like to work with people that are at a grassroots level. And then secondly, I think the decision has taken a conscious decision of empowering and mentoring community-based organizations, because we've been faced by one, a problem of old big NGOs that usually do the work for communities, and you find out that the bulk of the money does not benefit the communities. It ends up benefiting an NGO. And we've taken a conscious decision of empowering and mentoring NGOs and CBOs. And I think the committee will remember that when community development subdirectorate or directorate and NGA came to make a presentation, we even suggested to them that they must streamline their programs in terms of training, because both of them are focusing on training community-based organizations so that they can be able to account. So there is already work that is going on in terms of that. But also, I think what is going to assist us is the system that the government has committed itself to, outcomes, because during the next year, we'll be able to account on the basis of outcomes, and that is where we'll be able to see that this CBO did not account previous year, but at least this year they've been capacitated, and they will be able to continue doing their work. I would also like to get into the issue of mobiles. I think the acting CEO has touched on the fact that we haven't stopped with outreach programs. It's still on. We are still trying to register. We are registering people for grants. And I think also in the previous meeting, we did account and gave a number of children that we've already registered for the child support grant, and that also shows that there is work that is still going on. But we are not trying all to run away from the important issue that has been raised of mobiles that are sitting and not doing anything. But we also reported in the meeting that was in the I mustn't talk about the bed, but we did report that it's highly expensive to sustain the trucks, and at the time the department did a report that we are trying to look at other methods that are not as expensive as this one, but we are not going to stop using the trucks up until we find a method. And then on the uniformity of the relief that is given to areas where there are problems, I thought we should, it's there in the report. The acting CFO of the department did raise that we are introducing a social relief bill, which is going to try and come with a uniform way of responding to areas or to issues where there are emergencies or where there are disasters. And we think this is going to go a long way in addressing that uniformity, and also trying to ensure that all the funds that have been used differently are put in the same basket and are used to respond to a number of areas, because there are monies that have not been used for quite a long time, because things that we were supposed to respond to in terms of those finances have not come up. So which means that if you have a social relief bill, which I think we're going to be debating or tabling it around August chairperson. It's also part of ensuring that we harness our work. I'm satisfied with the response on vouchers, but I think we should know that people even try and make money, and money is very money and notes are very sophisticated, but you'll find out that people do invent them, and what we need to ensure is to ensure that we look carefully after the vouchers and we find a paper that will not be easily changed or photocopied and all those things. But I just want to say, Chairperson, generally, after the meeting we had with the Portfolio Committee to account on the report of the Auditor General, the Department has sat down at NDA level, at SASA level, at welfare programs and other programs to look into measures of ensuring that we account properly. And I think the response that or the report that was presented by our acting CFO shows that we really want to ensure that we produce a high level of work. Thank you very much, Chairperson.
Thank you very much, Honourable Deputy Minister. Honourable Members, we've come to the end of our meeting. Honourable Deputy Minister, I just felt upset to Dr. Mabetwa during the break, and yesterday the Portfolio Committee on Justice and Constitutional Affairs had a briefing session on the Child Justice Act, certain sections of the Act that will be implemented on the 1st of April, and social development readiness for that. Now, the invitation to the committee came very late for the members, and we would like to have a separate briefing on the matter, as well as also, I think, the Children's Act that was also approved. So we haven't had a briefing yet as a portfolio committee. So with the Child Justice Act, if we could have a briefing session, we will accommodate it in our program now between now and before the end of March before we go on recess. I think that's very important. And if you have any publications or anything around that, if you could forward it to the committee, we would really appreciate it. Thank you very much, Honourable Members. Thank you very much, Honourable Deputy Minister, and the team from SASA and Social Development, and also the partners from the Children's Institute. It's very good to have a very active and vigilant social society. Thank you very much also for coming. Thank you.